what happens. Watch what happens. Who cares what happens when there's so much that happens?
Happens.
Hi everyone, welcome to Watch What Crappens, a podcast about all that crap on Bravo we just love to watch. I'm Ben Mandelker from BsideBlog.com and the Banter Blender podcast, also available on iTunes. And joining me, as always, is the super hilarious, super friendly, and super musically talented Ronnie Karam.
Well, thank you.
From TrashTalkTV.com.
Thank you. That is where I'm from. Hi, everybody.
He was born there.
Yes.
He was born on his website.
I was born on ElPasoTalk.com. ElPasoTalkTV.
ElPasoTalk. I believe last week, it was our bonus episode, or somewhere, where we went on a big tangent about old El Paso foods. Did we not?
Oh, tacos.
Tacos. Well, you know, that bonus episode, if you're joining us for the first time, if perhaps you came here because you heard about us on the For Crying Out Loud podcast, or maybe you heard about us on some blogs, by the way. We have to give a shout out to it's the Little Things blog.blogspot.com, where the lovely Taylor has said that she likes us. So thanks, Taylor. And
well,
also Home Sweet Sarah. She is homesweetsarah.com. She also said that she is a big fan. So she said we are her favorite, very favorite podcast. So thank you guys.
Hey, thanks you guys. And Ben, good job on those Google alerts.
Yeah, well, I actually didn't do a Google alert. I was bored and I was Googling us. And I was like, after some digging, I found some people who were writing about us. So we are thankful to all our listeners, but want to give a special shout out for those people who are spreading the word on the internet about us. We're very appreciative of that.
Yeah.
Sorry, I've been drinking the coffee and eating my Think Thin bars. Got me all
Think
screwed
thin,
up.
Darling.
Got me all screwed up in the mouth now. Anyway, you can follow us on social media by just going to watchacrappens.com. All our links are there. Instagram, Twitter. You'll enjoy it, I promise. But most of all, our Facebook page, facebook.com/watchwhatcrappens. So much fun stuff happening there. Go there, have fun. We have 3,500 likes. It's amazing. I can't believe how fast it's growing. Weren't we just saying we just got to 3,000?
Yeah.
So thank you all so much
for liking
us.
Get over there and start yapping, y'all.
We have inferiority issues, so when you like us, it makes us feel slightly less inferior.
Yeah. Someone likes me.
And of course, it wouldn't be a podcast if we didn't plug our Patreon page, patreon.com/watchwhatcrappens, where you can support us and, you know, you get access to bonus episodes. Like, we just recorded one just now where we talked about Kim Richards. We talked about Kim Richards going on Dr. Phil and all the latest Kim Richards gossip. Plus, we talked about Whitney's From Southern Charms documentary that he did in 2012. Really fun stuff. We also get ringtones. And then this Thursday, we have a hangout where you can come onto Google, and if you're a supporter, you can chat with us online, live. Is that everything?
Yeah, I think so. I think we got it all in there, Bean.
Woo, wow. That was a lot today. It's always
I'm actually Googling someone on our Facebook page. We have a thread saying, what do you guys want to talk about today? And someone said, hey, is there a review of Nene in Cinderella? Which actually would be brilliant, but I cannot find a review. There's someone on TripAdvisor named Greg who likes her. Just kidding. His name isn't Greg. He's like, her picture's going to be on the wall at Saudi's.
Yeah. Yes. Nene Leakes is like, I'm very rich, bitch. I get good reviews on TripAdvisor. Like, number 78. Go see Nene Leakes and Cinderella. Yeah, she's such a star. She's such a star. She didn't generate any press at all.
She generated press, just not reviews.
Yeah,
there were reviews like Nene Leakes is on Broadway. Nene Leakes is on Broadway. But there is something that says Nene Leakes Broadway ticket sales bomb. $300,000 loss, but that's from Phenom Life.
So that's from ClaudiaJordan.com.
Yeah, that's like on page 4 of the search. So, girl, I don't know.
Yeah, I mean, I don't even know how many people were interested to see Cinderella in the first place, to be honest.
Why did they just make it again into a movie? Who needs... Oh, was that Sleeping Beauty or Cinderella? It was Cinderella, right?
Cinderella was made into a movie, but that's different.
Come on.
That was a big success. That was a big success. But Broadway Cinderella... Broadway Cinderella, I don't know. I don't know. I feel like if someone told me NeNe Leakes was going to be on Broadway, I don't think I'd be jumping to spend $150 on that. Like if someone said, guess what? Ellen Green is going to be in Cinderella. I'd be like, yes, because she can sing.
I'm not Seymour's the greatest. So I got a black eye in my arms in a cast.
Love it. Okay.
I wish I knew the
Ellen
lyrics.
Green should play that. She'd be like, can I go to the bar, Mr. Mushnick?
Well, you know Ellen Green is reviving Audrey for Little Shop of Horrors this summer for like a limited engagement. Jake Gyllenhaal is going to be playing Seymour, and she's going to be Audrey. And it's going to be like three performances at Lincoln Center.
This
and
is
I am
not true.
It's true. And I am.
Jake Gyllenhaal is going to be Seymour?
It's an odd pairing, Seymour
with
and.
With Ellen Green?
With Ellen Green. But girl. I'll take it because, gosh, I wish I could see that. To see Ellen Green singing those songs, to see her singing Suddenly Seymour or like Downtown. Was it Downtown or is it called Skid Row? Whatever it is. I mean.
Yes,
Suddenly Seymour.
And this kind of has to do with Bravo shows because my Ellen Green is exactly my Orange County Gretchen impression. So there you go.
Why isn't Ellen Green on one of the Real Housewives? That's the real question. Put her on Real Housewives or whatever. Put her on Real Housewives of 57th Street. I don't care. Wherever she's living, make a franchise and have her the star of it.
Oh, Ellen Green. Love her.
She is. All right,
so should we, since
treasure.
We're talking about amazing and odd casting choices, should we talk about Real Housewives of Atlanta first?
I mean, why not? We can talk, I mean, we're talking about Broadway. We might as well talk about NeNe's Broadway debut at Cinderella.
Yes. Oh, NeNe. So NeNe shows up on Broadway and she's all excited, and guess who's there to see her? Squealing gay people. Just like you think. They're like, girl, yeah. Mm-hmm. That's fierce. Mm-hmm. Like, you know, you just standing outside that stage door. That's a poor gay right there. And he had his face fuzzed out, so he couldn't even be on. He wouldn't even be on camera. He's just like, girl, we love you. You're everything to us. Like,
yeah.
Please stop it. She doesn't need a bigger head going into this show, right?
No. Sorry, no. She's like, oh, thank you. As if she's, you know. She just won an Oscar. I mean, listen, I'm not going to take away that moment from her, actually. Believe it or not, as much as I hate NeNe, it's really cool that she got to go on to Broadway. It's really cool that she stepped backstage and there were fans. You know, that. I mean, say what you will about her. It is a cool moment for her. But she's still awful. I guess I did take it away from her.
Yeah, she's still awful. And the whole thing, she's like, well, you know, I did invite the girls, but I never heard from them.
Which is the most,
when you invite
them,
you're supposed to send an email and say, okay, you guys want to come?
Exactly.
Come this day, you'll stay here, blah,
blah,
blah.
That's a passive-aggressive.
Blah, blah, blah.
That's what you call a passive-aggressive invitation. Like, you're all welcome to come, and then you don't follow up, and then you blame them for them not following up? No.
Yeah. When the last time you saw them, you ran to your car.
Yeah, exactly. And the time before that, you ran to your car.
Yeah, and that was away from fucking that shrink.
I would have NeNe, I want to talk about this. NeNe, we should discuss this. NeNe.
I wish he showed up in the production. Like, he was Prince Charming or something and forces her into therapy on stage.
Yeah, he'd be like, NeNe. He'd be like, wicked stepmother. I don't know if that's an appropriate way to behave. What Cinderella is trying to say is that she would really enjoy getting out of the house and meeting other people. It's not about the ball. It's about spiritual fulfillment.
Cinderella, do you have something you'd like to say to your stepmother? Well, I just feel like, you know, like I was trying to go to the ball in like something nice in a chariot. And then like you turned into a pumpkin. And I just felt like that was kind of disrespectful.
Cinderella was mean to me. The whole show would be about Nene crying that Cinderella was mean to her.
Yeah.
The way it would be like that remake of Sleeping Beauty with Angelina Jolie, where it turns out Angelina Jolie is really the hero.
Yeah, exactly. Nene would just accuse everyone of ganging up on her, and they'd be like, actually, no, I think that was actually everyone's ganging up on the wicked stepmother, and I don't know why you're playing the victim right now. Be quiet!
Cinderella asked to go to the ball. The ball! That was my night! That was my night! Trying to take my night away from me.
Nobody asked me to go to the ball, but that's okay. That's okay. It's all right. I still gave her a chariot.
You better pick some rice out the dirt. Bloop!
I'm very enchanted, bitch.
Andy at the reunion would be like, "Cinderella, hi Cinderella, hi wicked stepsister, hi other wicked stepsister,
hi little
charming,
hi little birds, and hi mouse,
hi pumpkin."
Now, where did you get that
Cinderella,
glass slipper?
You got a boob job. Come on, they look great. I love them.
Did you do anything? Did anyone else here get anything done? Wicked stepsister, your toes look like they've been cut off. What happened there?
Hey, let's play a game. Bring out the spinning cardboard wheel. Okay, whose penis is bigger? The Prince Charming or the other Prince Charming?
Is Prince Charming, is he from Africa? Is he an African Prince Charming?
Oh, that girl was just trying to kiss that man because he was standing in front of my light.
The wicked stepmother takes out like a dossier. It's like, I have proof that Cinderella has been lying to all of us.
I've got some textures right here.
I have proof that Cinderella saw Apollo in Los Angeles.
You don't even know me, Cinderella. We've never met.
You're my wicked stepmother.
We've never met.
You're my wicked stepmother.
Okay, whatever. I never met you.
Maybe okay. Cinderella should take an AIDS test. Then we get to the bottom. Maybe Prince Charming, too, okay?
Yeah. So, good for her. I mean, you know who it's not good for? All the people who struggle living in New York City, being singers every day, trying to make it onto Broadway. I'm sure they're not happy with it, but hey, you know what? You earn that. You've earned that by yelling at people, being a horrible person on TV. Listen, we all get to Broadway in different ways.
Yeah, exactly. And some of us never do, because other people get there by yelling at people on TV.
Yeah. And some of us just sit in our house.
Yeah. So Nene's story for this season finale was super boring. Basically, she's like, ooh, I'm nervous. And then she was in her dressing room and she gets like a text from her realtor, of course. And she gets flowers from her realtor and she's like, ooh, these are nice. I'm going to put them in the dressing room. And then she goes in the dressing room and then there's actually like a giant poster of Nene that's blurred out in the dressing room, which is really ridiculous. And then the director comes in and is like, so, Nene, in the future, it's just, this is all consuming, not all too consuming. Okay, thanks. And then it was like the end.
Yeah. Otherwise, please don't slap Cinderella again, because that's not in the script.
Yeah.
All right?
Yeah.
One thing I wrote down was when she walked onto that stage, they show her walking onto the empty stage, and she's like, so far, I've just rehearsed in a Marriott hotel room with Greg. But now here I am on this stage, and I just thought Ethel Merman just farted on a chorus boy in heaven because of this. No, Ethel Merman with her nasty ass is up there just like, fuck you!
Yeah.
Throwing if a bottle across the room.
See me now.
Oh, God, Ethel Merman and Sweet Charity. Could you imagine her? I know, I'm sorry. This is an old man. This is old man talking. Ethel Merman is Sweet Charity. I mean, that's crazy. Do you want to have fun? Fun has about a few laughs, big spender.
What did she say? She sang something on... What was the song that she sang in Airplane? Do you remember? I don't remember.
No, I don't remember. I remember her from her artistic roles as Gypsy.
Yes.
I mean, as Mama Rose and Gypsy.
Yeah.
Or all that other stuff.
Nene Merman.
I'm
very rich, joint. Bitch.
Bitch.
Loop. Close your legs to married man. Wow, we have a lot of musical theater going on today. We were talking about Liza Minnelli in the bonus episode, too.
I'm in a loopy mood. My caffeine's finally kicking in. Here, let me
too.
Have the last of my two-pump mocha.
Listen, I am going through my Tiago iced brew, and it's very strong. And basically, if you could see me now, you'd see me like flicking a top hat, an imaginary top hat on and off of my head, like Mr. Peanut.
I hope that tea has some healing qualities for burn victims there, Ben.
I hope you help the burn
victims by buying that tea, Ben.
Some charity. Get it? So anyway, so Nini was on Broadway and she moved into a $2 million mansion, which will probably be repossessed in 2 years.
I love that Nini's like farewell written monologue on the end of the screen was written like 20 minutes before the show ended.
I know. They're like, Nini
Leakes is still on Broadway. Yeah. Greg still is holding her purse.
Yeah.
Her son has not learned how to rob a Walmart yet. So we're still having hope for him. Yay, yeah. Nini.
Yes. So then we have Cynthia and Peter. And Peter, they're like, they're taking, like, they're sort of like closing down bar one, the first bar one.
They cut the scene where they're like, they're sitting in front of bar one with a hammer trying to get all the wood off the door that's blocking them from entering for not paying their rent.
Yeah, exactly. And they're like, so many memories here. It's like a montage of like some of the worst scenes in Housewife history. Basically, it's just like a montage of Cynthia walking in and everyone be like, hey!
Everyone's like, I love your wig. I love your clothes. I love your this. He's like, we have so much memories here, babe.
Yeah, and they're like, we're excited to get started with bar one, the other bar one, which in my mind should be called bar two, but whatever. So, and so then they're like, they're taking down these paintings and all this stuff, and then Peter's like, oh, babe, I want to show you something else, and he's like, it's like, ta-da, it's another empty storefront that he's rented out without asking her. He's like, it's gonna be a coffee shop. It's gonna be called Peter's Brew. I'm like, there may be some brand issues there. I'm just imagining it'd be like, you know, it's going to be like a place where you can get coffee and, you know, maybe I should just call it Peter's Coffee, you know? Like, I think people will understand that, right?
Peter's Brew.
Peter's Brew.
How
about
she not,
Pete's Brew? Pete's Brew.
How did she not, Peter Books. Yeah. How did she not have a shit fit when he said he bought that? I mean, he basically rented a place with her money, since that's all they have.
Yeah,
he rented a place with her money and didn't tell her again. And she's like, babe, we should probably talk about this. How about, babe, you're kicked out of the fucking house. Yeah. I already got you a new bar after the last one was foreclosed on.
Yeah, and how about you don't open up a coffee shop that sounds exactly like Pete's Coffee? And you know what's going to be is going to be him in the back behind a table, like, mixing up Taster's Choice for people. It's like, our options are Taster's Choice and Folgers. And on a special day, they have, like, Maxwell House.
No, they're going to be, like, full-on canteen, those canteen things from Starbucks that people at the office get.
Yeah, it's, you know, it's going to be like McDowell's. Like, McDowell's versus McDonald's.
It'll be one of those little Keurig machines that you put the pot in.
That's almost giving him too much credit, because that actually tastes good.
Call it Peter's Pod.
On Thursdays, we serve Sanka.
Everybody's serving coffee, babe.
It's guaranteed.
This is our chance to change the coffee world, babe.
Yeah, guaranteed. Look, it's going to be a huge success. It's under an overpass.
Who doesn't want to have coffee with your wife's fucking gigantic face? Because you know it'll be there right behind the prices.
Yeah, it'll be all like the leftover crap from bar one that they couldn't fit in the new place.
The 50-cent refill will be listed right next to her right eye.
The Cynthia Bailey is basically a coffee with Baileys in it. It's an Irish coffee.
So Peter's Coffee Shop. And I just put, yeah. Okay, so next we have Candy and Todd.
Well, no, wait, no, there was more with Peter.
Oh, there was?
Well, yeah, because then they went to they were walking around and then Apollo called them.
Oh, my God. Of course, I don't write down anything good. I'm just like, those predators letting them in? The end.
So they're, like, walking around, and Apollo calls from jail. He's like, hey, I still haven't seen my kids. And
yeah, you know why? Because you're in fucking jail, Apollo, because you committed felonies, okay? And your kids don't need to be coming to Kentucky to see you. Are you fucking crazy? Stop whining. Why are you the victim? You're the one who took yourself away from your children by doing that. That's no one else's fault. And frankly, Phaedra shouldn't have to go to jail to visit them. It's better for them not to be like, oh, my dad's in jail. This is totally normal.
And, you know,
you don't want your baby normalized going to jail. What the fuck?
And Phaedra actually made a really good point, which was, she's like, listen, I don't know, like, are they going to be resentful that I took them to jail, or are they going to be resentful that I don't take them to jail? It's like, I can't win either way, which is, she's actually
Phaedra's
right.
Her list of excuses was very funny. She's
but
like,
I think there were, I mean, well,
look, I can't go to jail because there's not a nursery in jail.
And what
there's
if
not,
has
you know,
to pee?
I can't go, if he has to pee, we have to leave. I mean, you can't go to jail because in jail, I mean, who's going to hand me a suitcase full of cash? Nobody. Nobody's going to do that for me in jail. She's they just kind of going off, but she doesn't need excuses. The excuse is, he's the one who fucked up, went to jail. I don't want my kids around that shit. Bye. And I'm divorcing you. So bye. You'll see them some other day.
She's like, they only have 6 chairs in the waiting area. And what if Aiden needs to sit down and there's no chairs left? Well, then what am I supposed to... We have to leave. I tend to think that the jail has accommodations for little kids. I'm sorry. I do think that. But, I mean, I think it's within her right not to go. And like you said, I mean, it's also it's a long ways away. And I have to say, I also thought the scene with Phaedra making, like, messed up cookies with her kids was an adorable scene. And I think that Aiden is so cute and such a sharp little kid. I feel bad, actually, that he's going to have, like, this will probably catch up to him at some point.
Well, yeah, all our parents' bullshit does eventually, doesn't it? Yeah.
I actually think that Phaedra's a pretty good mom to those kids. She seems like she is.
Yeah, you can definitely tell that they have her influence, because he's like, I can't leave until my hair is perfect.
Yeah.
I need my hairdo to be perfect.
But I liked when, like, the cookies came out, like, totally janky. It was just, like, one big cookie blob. And then Aiden was like, well, it's a very good experiment. I was like, oh.
So cute.
He was adorable. But meanwhile, while this is intercut with Paula talking to Peter and Cynthia. So Cynthia's more or less staying out of it. She's just cooing some nice, like, supportive things. Like, stay strong, Apollo. Stay strong. And then Peter's like, so did you hear that Phaedra filed for divorce? I'm like, you idiot. It's really not. Like, why? That's not your place to say that.
Well, the men are all standing behind Apollo. Oh, yeah. It's
because
he's on Apollo's side. Yeah, he's on. Well, what's Apollo going to do? He's going to come after her with a fucking drill?
No, but meaning that it embroils the two of them in this mess.
Well, yeah, but that's how all of this has been. It's been other people getting them involved in shit.
Yeah.
And it's Apollo getting himself involved in shit to be on TV. I mean, is it an accident that Apollo happened to call the day cameras are rolling?
Exactly.
With Peter?
Yeah.
No way.
No. No way.
No way.
No way.
Jose. He's like, maybe you could talk to her. No, they're not going to go talk to her for you. Cynthia's sure as hell not. Peter might.
Hey, why don't you let him see his kids? That's not nice. No free refills for you.
I know it's a long drive, but I can give you a big gulp of Peter's coffee. Peter's brew.
I just bought the jail with Cynthia's money, so now it's called Peter's Prison, and you're allowed to bring your kids.
Hey, come have some Nescafe.
So meanwhile, Candy, see,
now, Candy is thinking about moving to L.A. with Riley.
Todd seems so fucking awful. She's sitting there trying to talk to him, and he's rolling his eyes on his Twitter or whatever, just staring at his cell phone. I hate that.
Mm-hmm.
He makes me crazy.
He's gotten so cocky.
They ended up going over to, Mama Joyce's house.
Yeah. That is wrong, Candy!
So they go to Mama Joyce's,
mm-hmm.
and there's a big old feast. Man, oh, I miss those feasts where there's so much food that they have to put it in those silver tins.
I know. By the way, if anyone in the LA area wants to make a meal like that and then invite me and Ronnie over, we'll come.
Totally.
Make a whole bunch of mac and cheese and stuff like that. And by the way, there was a mac and cheese recipe in the New York Times today that looked divine.
New Yorkers don't know how to make mac and cheese, Ben.
I know. Ronnie makes killer mac and cheese, but I'm tempted to try this one.
Go for it.
Yeah.
Share it.
Yeah.
Share it.
Someone make a soul food meal for us, and we'll come in Los Angeles.
So they are going to dinner over at Mama Joyce's, and all the family is there, and Candy announces that she's going to be going to L.A. with Todd. To see who he's fucking over there, probably. I hope so.
Yeah, probably. And Riley's like, you're going to leave your daughter?
That's not very nice. Why are you going to leave me here all alone?
Are you going to come with us, Riley?
No, I'm not.
Riley.
See? Mama Joyce Riley. Finally gave us what we're waiting for. Mama Joyce, first of all, looked like she had an entire fist up her butt that entire time. Her eyes were raised like she was dismayed, but she was also sad, but also pondering. I really want to know what's going on in her head, and I have a feeling it's something like this.
What on
I'll bet those are the sounds in her head, because that's what her face looks like. But Mama Joyce gave an apology, which went a little something like this. Todd, now I know I said some things. If I offended you, I am sorry that I said those things. I did not say those things on my own. Those are things that I heard from people on the street. I would never say that, because I'm not that person. I'm better than that.
And Todd just stared at her like, yeah. Really, bitch?
He's like, that wasn't really a very sincere apology.
Yeah. And then he made people on the street jokes.
Yeah.
Which, he's totally right. Of course it's not a sincere apology, but this is not one of your friends, idiot. Just say thank you, hugger. That's all I wanted from you, hugger, and it's fixed.
Yeah.
Why does it need to be more drama for the rest of your life? I think it's because he'll still have an excuse to do whatever the hell he's doing.
Exactly. Well,
the mom.
By the way, I am looking forward to the spinoff, the candy ski trip. It's like really a silly idea for a spinoff, but basically it looks like Candy and Todd and the whole family, like Bertha and Noreen or whatever her name is, and Mama Joyce, like the whole family is going to Colorado to go skiing. And
Is that just a one episode thing?
They said it was a new, like a limited series. It's probably gonna be like Candy's Wedding, which was probably like 4 or 5 episodes. I don't know. I liked Candy's Wedding. I thought that was a good spinoff. And this is one of those cases where I'm pro it. And you know what? What else I like about it? It's not a damn wedding show. It's a bunch of people going skiing. So they're gonna fall over. They're gonna fall over and fight, which I'm down with.
Yeah, that's true. I just wish that their new thing would be divorce shows, because all these couples that get married, it's really fun to actually watch them get divorced, too.
They do have divorce shows. It's called the regular seasons of Real Housewives. Oh,
that's true. That's true.
Every season, someone's visiting that same lawyer, that same bald-headed, bearded lawyer in Atlanta.
Yeah, but I need a full episode of Apollo chasing Phaedra around their big house with, like, drills and other things that wouldn't really hurt her. Like, other things that couldn't be used as a weapon. He's like,
I got some scotch tape. You better watch out, Phaedra. Yeah, I'm like, coming now.
I got a napkin holder. You watch out.
I took the Afghan off the couch. You better watch out. I'm going to cuddle you up on that couch real good.
I got one of those little cup measures that comes with the rice cooker. You watch out now.
I'll tell you what, you're about to get this teaspoon in an eye.
I got a little plastic clip that closes up a potato chip bag. You watch out, I'm going to close you up with it. Clip.
Apollo came after me with a chip clip. I had to change the locks.
I got a scrunchie. You watch out.
I also replaced the chips.
I got cheese zoodles instead. That should keep me safe.
Oh, Lord. Okay, so the Todd thing, I mean, the thing with the spinoff for me, the biggest problem with the ski spinoff is that Todd's going to be in it.
Yeah.
I can't watch Todd anymore with his tall hair trying to be a big man. Stop it.
I don't mind.
Congratulations on getting somewhere in the world. Now, please be quiet again.
I don't mind his tall hair. What I do mind is his, like, overly manicured beard. It's like, it's very disturbing to me. The tall hair I can deal with.
I just don't like that he's mean to my Candy.
I know. He's probably getting mad at her about, like, which trail he can go down on the mountain. See, I wanted to go down a diamond, but Candy, she won't let me. And I don't know. I don't know where this marriage is going now.
Listen, Candy, your mother was really mean to me on the bunny hop.
Hey, I fell off the little I forget what it's called. What are those things called where it drag the rope pull. Whatever.
Your mother called me the son of a whore on the tram. The sky tram. What do you call it?
Yeah.
The ski lift. Oh, good Lord. Can you tell I was a poor child? We never skied.
You know,
we
you want to
tennis with our hands.
You know you want to see Aunt Bertha in a gondola. That would be amazing.
No fighting over here, guys.
The gondola swinging back and forth as Mama Joyce. But Mama Joyce, Carmen, Ashu, and Aunt Bertha in the gondola and see that thing rock back and forth. It'll be like the Salt and Pepper Shakers at a carnival. Mama Joyce wouldn't let me put extra marshmallows in my hot cocoa.
Hmm. So the other thing that happened is that the girls went to see Kenya's
Live Twirls On.
Shockingly not picked up pilot.
Yes.
I am typing in Life Twirls On at the moment, so you just go ahead and talk for a minute.
Life twirls on, and so do we. Just how we do it is no mystery. That's a little that's a little Empty Nest reference for everyone. I know you are waiting for it.
Oh, Empty Nest. Don't the show that I just watched because it was on after Golden Girls and yes. Nothing else was.
And Dinah Madoff was on it and Joe Suzu. Don't you wish Dreyfus was in Life Twirls On? That would have been great.
Dreyfus? Mm. Dreyfus?
I am seeing when this is premiering. Oh, she said she's going to premiere it on March 16th.
Exclusive. Probably exclusive to YouTube.
Her sitcom. Wow.
Well, so what happened was this. She invited all the girls over to a mansion for this viewing party, and it was this bonkers sort of situation. It was like a fake wedding. There was cocktails and a harpist and people singing and doing sort of like interpretive dance. But the thing is, only like six people showed up because it was the women. It was just the women. And then Kenya showed up in a wedding gown. And it was all very strange, but I think because Kenya didn't seem to be taking it too seriously, it didn't bother me as much as other events.
Yeah, it was kind of a weird finale because usually there's some kind of a big party at the end.
Yeah, this wasn't.
This was just like the ladies kind of getting along in the house, which was kind of weird, and making fun of Kenya, which was amazing.
Yeah, I liked when Phaedra was like, I'm all for a dramatic entrance, but one that makes sense. I'm like, you are one to talk. I seem to remember the baby showers from three seasons ago, or Aiden's like first birthday with tent cakes.
Or the marching band in your last one. Like, what was that entrance? She's like, this is about men leaving. I need a marching band of men that will march on and then leave. Yeah. Like, no. Is that how we're tying it together? Because that don't make much sense. But I love an entrance that makes no sense.
Yeah,
which is why I love Phaedra as well, a marching band. Welcome to my very serious event.
Yeah. So they watched Kenya's pilot and they laughed. I don't get the sense that the show is particularly good or funny, but I think they were laughing because they were seeing like their friends do. It's like when you watch like home videos of your friends and you crack up and then you show it to a stranger and they have no idea why you're laughing so hard.
Oh, or like any of my YouTube videos. So
or this podcast.
So Kenya, the funniest line in it is Kenya saying, "I'm a 30-year-old virgin looking for love," and then they all start cracking up, and she's like, "Okay." A 35-year-old virgin looking for love. And Candy's like, you going to stop again?
Yeah.
45-year-old non-virgin.
Yeah. But I think the thing that struck me was, you know, they were all getting along. They're all having a great time at this thing. And it was like, oh my gosh, finally the women are like happy again. And it's like, next week at the reunion, and they are just viciously fighting. And it's like, that's the thing that about these shows sometimes that gets me, is because every now and then, one of these seasons on any of these shows, the women have like a therapy session, like especially on New Jersey. They get to a good place, and then cut to the reunion as Andy Cohen smiles like the Pied Piper and watches these people tear each other down again.
Yeah, well, they all watch a show now.
Really, yeah. Every time, Bueller, every time we record, you're going to bark at somebody. Every damn time.
Mm-hmm. He puts his ears back, like saying sorry every time doesn't work. Okay.
Seriously, Bueller.
Seriously.
Oh, mailman. So, so basically they were just happy, and then next week we see them ripping each other to shreds, but then we also see them hugging Nene after she storms off stage. And it's like a group hug, and they're like, but we love you.
Oh, God.
And Nene's saying, after all this, you know, whatever we go through, it's a sisterhood. We're all still sisters.
Yeah. Whatever. I hope Nene leaves. We can't have her anymore.
Well, reportedly, she was paid record amounts to return, so I don't think she'll be leaving.
I still hope she does.
Okay, so let's leave her, since she can't leave us. Let's leave Nene behind. And Please. Move on to, which one do you want to do next? Blood, Sweat, or Real Housewives of Melbourne?
Why don't we do Blood, Sweat? Why not? We never promote it out of the third place on our podcast, so why don't we give it second place for once?
All right, then Blood, Sweat, let's do this.
Blood, Sweat, and Heels. I'm enjoying, I have to say, by the way, I'm enjoying the season so far. I am invested. I also am enjoying the new ladies. What do you think?
The new ladies are bringing the drams, that's for sure. In this episode, they show that they will fight dirty.
They will. They will. Well, I guess so. Well, first, I guess let's see. What are the main things? Well,
main starting point. I have to start at the beginning because that's where this all starts.
Back in the beginning, let's fix chapter one.
Can we be done back to the beginning? Ah, sorry.
Which is
Daisy Joseph.
In her gigantic sponge wig?
Oh yeah, I like her sponge. I like her sponge wig.
That is not going to sponge up the cancer. Take off that wig.
I like it. It's sort of like Whitney Houston 1986. Like,
no, I don't like that. You shouldn't be putting your body under that much stress when you're sick.
I like it. It
looks heavy.
I like it. And by the way, there's something else I would like to say. Demetria's hair. So, okay. Talking about black women's hair is like a danger zone because you don't want it. It's like if you talk about it,
don't understand.
I know. But that being said, I love Demetria's hair. Is that racist for me to say that? I don't think it's racist. I think it's praise.
Somebody's hair?
Well, because people are
why
like,
would that be racist?
Well, it's like that whole thing like when white people touch black people's hair, it's like the most like it's like a you don't do that. It's like patronizing
well, you didn't
or whatever.
Touch it.
I know, but I don't want to be construed like that. The point is this.
We're about to enter racist territory for the entire and not us being racist, but the whole topic of this show and the next one is racism.
This episode, nothing like really severe happens. But, you know, as we talk about it, there's going to be something where we'll probably say some stupid shit without even realizing it. So,
oh, Ben,
sorry
don't
in advance.
Be such a pussy. It's an episode about racism.
Excuse me. We were talking before we even started the podcast. We're like, oh, yeah, we should probably warn people we're going to say some stupid shit by accident. So now I'm saying it. You're like, Ben, don't be a pussy.
Well, I would have said it before, but a mic wasn't on, so it wouldn't have counted.
No, I mean, I don't think we're saying anything too stupid. But that being said, I love Demetria's hair. It's got just great volume, and I love it. Now, her personality, yeah, I don't know.
Watching her and her boyfriend have lunch together talking about the wedding was kind of painful because they both talk like this.
Well, Demetria's always over everything. You know, she's such a smart, intelligent woman, and it's like you don't even care because she just sits there like, well, whatever. I don't even want a wedding. I just want to go into a room and exchange vows. That's all. It's like, ugh, shut up.
What are we going to do for the wedding? I don't care. What do you want to do? Well, you said you wanted a church wedding. Yeah, but then we could just go to IHOP. Oh, that's just as romantic as when you proposed. Yeah, when you got off the couch and then there was a ring and I had a scarf on my head. Yeah, I love you. I love you too.
Oh my God, Chad, get these people. They're too boring to even wait on. I wouldn't even give them time if I was waiting on them. I'd be like, what do you want? And then leave immediately. I wouldn't be like, how's your day?
Yeah.
Because I really don't want to hear it in that monotone tone. I'm trying to keep my energy up, Demetria.
Demetria, cheer up. I want to love you. I want to praise you, but you're just so over it. It's so Brooklyn. I just can't embrace you.
Oh, Eeyore.
She really is. And then it was weird that she and Daisy had this, like, a little coffee. And it was sort of strange because all season long, there's been, like iciness between them, and now all of a sudden they're having a coffee. It just didn't make sense.
I like when Daisy's like, you know, we're getting along right now, but I don't want to tell her about the big C because I don't want her being friends with me just because of cancer. I want her to be friends with me because of me. Because people are always chasing down cancer patients to be friends with. The only person who's like actively seeking cancer friends to use is Kim Richards. Yeah. Everybody else.
And Amber from New Jersey. No, I think that what she meant was that.
I know what she meant.
Yeah, you know it. Oh, okay. So, fine, Ronnie.
Am I being a bitch, Ben?
No,
sorry,
no.
Ben.
No, Rondell. No.
I didn't mean to be. I love you, Ben.
No, Ronnie. You're Ronnie.
I love you, Ben. Sorry, darling. Sorry. Didn't mean to be like that.
Well, that's actually what I like about Daisy, because if it were Amber from New Jersey, the first thing she would say is, well, you know, I have cancer. But Daisy's like, I don't want to bring it up because I want her to see this is like not coming from a place of like garnering sympathy. It's coming from a place of me genuinely trying to just to reboot the friendship. So
also, when you're trying to heal, you don't need somebody showing up with a 12-pack of donuts. You know that bitch doesn't buy flowers.
Yeah. That's right.
They're like, we finally got a Krispy Kreme on 3rd Street.
Yeah. And I'm like, Daisy, I was like, Daisy, don't go to Fashion Week. Rest up. You've got cancer, girl.
That's why she doesn't want to tell people because if you have cancer and you tell people, people are going to be like, really? Should you be putting that dollar in the stripper's G-string? You have cancer. I can still move my hands. My penis still works, for Christ's sake. I don't have penile cancer.
I know.
Get off my ass. ass.
Daisy. So then...
Are you sure you should be doing that? You know M&Ms have been causing cancer, right? Are you sure you're going to eat that M&M? I wouldn't tell people either.
So then Chantal...
Except, you know, the cameras when I was alone. I would tell America, but not you.
Then we had Chantal, whose brother was visiting, and she's like, oh, you know, he's here from Britain, and he likes to live it up, because when he's in Britain, he works in a yogurt factory, or as you people in America say, yogurt. I was like, okay.
Yeah, totally different. It's totally different there.
Yeah.
I like how she was talking to her friends, because she's like, you know, I just couldn't do that. I couldn't live where we grew up. Because, you know, how everyone lives there, just living life. I couldn't do that. And then they cut to the people just living life, looking at her like, really, bitch?
Yeah. She's like, I just wanted something more. I guess that's all. And they're like, thanks.
Congratulations.
Thanks for shaming my yogurt factory job, sis. And then we had like a little scene of Arzo with her boyfriend yesterday. They're sort of like a cute... random coupling, but yeah, I have to say, and we're gonna get into Arzo later, I kind of like Arzo. She's crazy, you know, but I like her.
Yeah, I'm liking her so far. She seems like kind of a raging bitch. Like she's one of those people who doesn't understand what a bitch she is until she's on TV and people tell her.
Yeah, exactly. So before we get to like the real like crux of the episode, why don't we talk about Micah Pop Runway real quickly?
Oh, my God. Just the runways in general. We got to see a scene of Daisy, who's like, I'm so busy. I'm going to do this runway show. And you see her, you know, backstage at the runway show going to of all her important people who are all Bravo people. Yeah, every single one of them.
She's like, I'm here with Kenya Moore and Cynthia Bailey.
Oof, what a get, girl. You're the next Barbara Streisand. I mean, the next Barbara Walters. The next Barbara Streisand.
She's that, too. She can have
That's
it all.
How Barbara Streisand started. Yeah. She got funny girl by being nice to somebody from, like, Top Chef first season.
Yeah, exactly. In the 60s. It was like, Cuban Missile Crisis Chef.
Don't tell me. I'm not your bitch, bitch. And then Michael Costello, who's oddly skinny. And then Geneva's big interview at Fashion Week. She's like, I'm so into fashion. I'm like, you are wearing a plaid skirt with a neon leopard top from TJ Maxx and a beret. Come on now. Just because everything doesn't match does not mean you know fashion, okay?
Yeah.
You look like the floor of a Ross Dress for Less, where people just throw shit on the ground and walk all over it.
Oh, gosh.
And then her deep question. She's like, so what was it like dressing Michelle Obama? Why are you asking him that? He's answered that a million times. I mean, even what's your favorite ice cream would be better than that.
What's your favorite ice cream? She was like, I can tell you mine. She's like everything at Baskin-Robbins. So,
she's like, everything but the.
Everything but vanilla. So Micah decides that she is going to throw, like, this pop-up runway at the Empire Hotel. And so she goes through this whole, like, audition process, which was, like, maybe a shade more impressive than anything that's ever happened at the Bailey agency, you know? It's in that same range. And then, like, the day of, like, four models cancel, and Micah starts to cry. She's like, I worked so hard for this. It's embarrassing. This is my brand. Da-da-da-da-da-da-da. I'm like, if you're so concerned about your brand, don't have the stupid event in the first place.
I like when she said, these models are so unprofessional. You think you're Naomi Campbell? You ain't Naomi. Naomi can be late. You can't be late.
Yeah, I did like that.
I'm just going to start telling people that. You're not Naomi.
I did like that. So then basically the event happens, and the big pop-up runway was like a bunch of girls in bikinis holding up glow sticks. So it kind of just looked like everyone was ordering bottle service all at once, you know? Like, I was like,
And also,
there was nothing fashionable about it.
No, it's like bad bathing suits in a bar that no one knows it's coming. So the music is still playing and everybody's talking. And Mike is being funny on the microphone, but you can't hear her. So all anybody can hear is, what the hell? And then these models come out with glow sticks.
They just hold them up and walk around. Yeah, it made no sense. And I don't even think that crowd was even like the sort of crowd that would want or need to like hire a pop-up runway for an event, you know?
She's like, yeah, but you got to be known. I mean, look, if you're worrying about your models not showing up, why didn't you call the waiter models from the other agency that your friend owns?
Yeah.
Sure, you could use some busboys. They're all hot, size 28 waist.
But Flawless, it's the Flawless agency. I built it when I was 21.
So the biggest thing that happened in this episode, and I was a little disappointed, I have to say, because Geneva was arrested and went to jail, which we didn't get to see. We never get to see the good shit.
Oh, wait, pause. Melissa Ford went on a date with a really attractive guy, but they had no chemistry.
Oh, yeah, that was funny. And Melissa's, and someone said, yeah, you know, it's hard for Melissa because she's like the most gorgeous woman in the world. So she's just trying to find some. You know what? You could find so many people who don't know who Melissa Ford is, okay? You're not Julia Roberts.
Yeah, exactly. Right? Talk about not Naomi Campbell, too. I mean, it's just, you know, like,
Jesus
get Christ. Over yourself, Melissa Ford. You were in some videos, you know, 12 years ago.
People would probably want to date you more if you stopped introducing yourself as Melissa Ford, the video model who was only treated like a piece of ass a whole lot.
Yeah, and how about be more like engaging and entertaining on a date rather than just ordering red wine and being like snarky and sighing a lot.
And if you're gonna go on a date and try and be uglier so someone will fall in love with you, how about you do it with less makeup and not your eyebrows? Frown upside down. Please stop it. That still bugs me. I wish these shows were filmed or done live so we could like tweet them. Please with the eyebrows.
Yeah.
Frowny brows. I don't need to see your negative eyebrows on TV. I'm trying to watch these shows to be positive.
Frowny brows.
So, yeah, she had the date with that guy who it got really awkward. But I think part of the reason it got awkward is because her big date question was, if you met the right woman right now, what would be your reaction?
Yeah, she has no game.
Yeah, he just ate.
I mean, it seemed like at first seemed like the date was going really well. He seemed like very suave and like measured. And I was like, ooh. And then all of a sudden she started sighing and he's like, I know, you sighed again. I was like, what happened?
Be like, if I met the perfect woman right now, I would probably iron my hair again just to make sure it's completely flat. Yeah. I mean, Jesus, iron hair.
Yeah. I mean, her big, like,
how do you iron hair that short?
I don't know. But I like that. Her big, like, opening question was like, so you look like you're not a stranger to the gym. I'm like, what sort of statement is that? Like, how do you open up like that? That's such an awkward thing to say. And what's he supposed to say? And he's like,
Why is he so defensive? Like, guys have to apologize. It's like reverse shaming again. Like, you go to the gym. It's almost like reverse shaming because he must deal with that a lot because his response was so weird. Was
he's like, well, I have a godson.
My sister had a baby, so I'm the godfather. Actually, I think that makes you the uncle, which is kind of higher in the food chain. But he's like, well, you know, my sister had a baby, and I just want to be healthy for those kids so I can live longer. You did not get that huge because your sister had a baby, okay? Yeah. That shit started in your 20s because you were, like, fat and couldn't get pussy.
Yeah, exactly.
Stop blaming your sister's baby on
Victor.
Yeah, come on. You don't have to apologize for being hot. You earn that shit. Just be like, yeah, that's right. That's why I'm on a date with a video model. Now, what artist did you work for again?
I have to look up what video she's been in. Whenever I think of Melissa Ford, there's a song by The Game where he like name checks or he like makes fun of like video girls, whatever. Geneva. So midway through the episode, like the music gets all sad. And, like, Chantal comes over to Geneva's apartment. Geneva's, like, in a bathrobe and crying. And Chantal's like, What's wrong? What happened? I had to leave my brother who was at the yogurt factory for this. And
my brother won't stop going into different yogurt factories.
He keeps touring yogurt factories. And I have to tell him to stop. And I can't even tell him to stop right now because I'm here to find out what happened with you.
He went to a hot yoga, and now he's going to open a hot yoga studio in London, and he's going to call it Very Sizzling Yoga Time Factory.
He's obsessed with Yoplait. I can't get him out of there. Yoplait, yogurt, yoga.
I'm sorry to interrupt this stupid segment again, but one thing I wrote down is my favorite thing that Melissa's doing lately. If you can't cerebrally stimulate me, then I have no... First of all... Stop with the cerebrally. All right. Yeah. Congratulations on your word a day calendar, but you need to get past January 1st at some point. You need to flip the page. Yeah. Cerebrally is over. Okay. It's yesterday, as that new girl's boyfriend.
Yeah, with an I. Yesterday with an I.
If someone asked his name. Oh, God, it's yesterday with an I.
Yesterday. Yes. YESTIRDAY.
Could you imagine that in a waiting room? No. You're sturdy? No, it's yesterday. Oh, it's spelled wrong. Do you want to redo this? The doctor needs exact names.
No, it's yesterday. All I know is that he's just very passe. Ha ha ha, get it? Yesterday's news.
You're so yesterday.
Anyway, so... so Geneva...
You're so yes sturdy.
Say yes to sturdy men. I don't know what that means.
Okay, so Geneva was in jail. Okay, now this story of Geneva.
This is the story.
Thank God for this Afghani girl on the show. Yeah,
I know.
Said what I was thinking. Because I know, I was me like, too. Really?
Seriously? Seriously? Like,
look, if you're saying, there are real, real
Wait, let's
issues.
Tell the story. Let's tell the story first.
Okay, you tell it. I'll be quiet.
Okay, so according to Geneva, through tears, she tells us the story that she gets in a cab. She's going to go to the nail salon just for like a 10-minute thing. And when she's in the cab, she notices the driver's going the long way, so she just asks him, like, why are you going this way? And he starts yelling at me, really yelling, and
No, you already have to stop, because this is more... Because she was the way she was saying it, she was making herself the victim, but also you could see that she was being a total bitch. Mm-hmm. Because that's not really abnormal for the taxi driver to take his own way. Unless you specify it, he's going to go wherever he wants to go.
Yeah.
So she's like, why are you taking me this way? And he said... You didn't tell me which way you want to go. And she said, yes, sir. Actually, yes, sir. I did tell you, blah, blah, blah. So she's already fighting with him about the way that she's going to go. Okay. So
then she says that he stops in traffic and makes her get out. But then she finds a traffic cop. And the traffic cop is like, no, it's illegal to do that. You have to keep on going to her destination. So then he drives to the destination. She's scared, blah, 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 blah.
And because the meter was still running.
The meter was still running.
How long did this incident take where she got out of the cab and then the police stopped? How long did that take that the meter's still running that it's so expensive that you're not going to pay for that?
Right.
I mean, 1 minute.
And by the way, it couldn't have been that expensive because the final meter was like $15. So it was probably like a minute. So anyway... So they get out of. So she says.
No, wait, when she got out in traffic, that's where the construction guy thought she was so hot that they made a jacket for her out of a construction cone. Like, really? Are you really wearing a bright orange plastic jacket right now while you're talking about traffic?
I was wondering where you're going with that. I was
it's
like,
it's either irony or thematic. I don't know what you're doing there, but.
Oh, I don't my like gosh. It. So, anyway. So according to her, they get to the destination, and she says she gets out of the cab, and she says, I'm going to pay you, but first I'm going to go inside. And so she goes inside, and she calls the police, and then when she comes outside, she says he called the police too. And when the police show up, she's like, oh, good, you're here. I'm Geneva. And he's like, oh, you, blah, blah, blah. And then she gets arrested because she didn't pay her cab fare. So then she says... This is an example of taxi drivers. Taxi drivers are such assholes, but they're also like they're so mean and racist to black people. That's basically the gist of her.
Well, and the cops.
And the cops too.
You know, if you're in front of a cop, it doesn't matter if you're Trayvon with a hoodie or what, blah blah blah. You're all the same to the cops.
Yeah, now, I pay my bills. I don't commit crimes. I don't litter. Da 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 da. So now,
but you didn't pay your bill. You didn't pay your taxi, bitch.
So here's the thing. I mean, she's not wrong. I mean, the taxi drivers are racist, and the police.
Taxi drivers in New York are dicks, dude.
They're dicks. They're racist. And I mean, you just have to turn on the news to know about the police, you know? So I don't disagree with her there. But, you know, we know Geneva.
Putting yourself in a Trayvon place is a little awkward.
That's a little awkward. But also, we also know Geneva, and we know that when she tells her version of stories... She can sometimes downplay situations. I mean, you know, when she talked about Micah getting wasted at the Hamptons, she's like, she was I was scared. She was, you know, it's like, you got her.
She was trying to beat down the door.
She has a tendency to embellish. Not to take away, I'm sure it was scary for her, for sure. I'm sure it was scary. I'm sure it was, like, awful for her. And I'm sure
you know what? You know what would be less scary? Not fighting with cab drivers.
Yeah. How about you fork over just the $15? Be like, this guy is an asshole. He's racist. Take your $15 and I'm out of here.
And if he's going to the wrong bridge, then that's such a fast thing to say. Just say, oh, no, you're heading towards the wrong bridge. Would you take the Brooklyn Bridge? That's it. Yeah. Why are you fighting with him and then leaving without paying? Look, if I could start a fight everywhere, I'd walk into the fucking Liquor Time store and start yelling at the guy for giving me a dirty look and walk out with some M&Ms and a Diet Coke. You right. don't do that. Fighting with somebody does not give you a free cab ride.
Exactly. That's just and crazy. First of all, she should have taken Uber anyway. So so Chantal comes over and like is like, "Oh no. Oh, how awful. You must have been so scared. Oh, I'm so sorry. It's not right. Oh no." So then cut to Micah's pop runway fashion show and the girls arrive, etc. And I think it was Chantal who was like, "Did you hear that Geneva was arrested?" And Arzo was like, "Ha!" She's like, "That's hilarious." And she's like, "I don't think it's funny at all. I don't think it's very funny at all." And then Arzo says,
and Melissa's like, "I've been arrested 5 times.
Yeah,
who cares?"
And then Arzo was like, "Oh, please, this wasn't about race. She didn't pay her taxi. She didn't pay her taxi bill, and she probably became an angry meatball over it." I just like cracked up. I kind of believe everything. Is it weird that I believe both sides of the story all at once?
Well, Geneva's right that there is racism. There is systematic racism. To deny it is silly, right? So right. if the cops come up to you and you're a black person, most likely they're not going to treat you the same.
No.
And a cab driver, too. So I believe
she's lucky she didn't get shot.
Obviously. I mean, I've seen that in action many times and heard of it from my friend. So it's not like that doesn't exist. But first of all, if he was racist, he wouldn't have picked you up in the first damn place. Because we all know the racist taxi drivers will not stop for a black person because right. they're dicks. And second, you got in a fight with the taxi driver, got out of the cab, then got back in and then stormed off without paying, period.
Yeah. And what was she like? She's gonna call the cops, and what was her end game? I'd like to report an asshole. You know, it's like
overcharging me $2 that it took was a 15, for me to like was, stand outside in a construction zone. Like, how much
you know what you do? You just been? You pay it and you don't tip. That's how that works in life. You know what it is in life? I mean, I get it, I do understand, as we've said a few times now. There is like systematic racism with taxi drivers, police officers, for sure. But sometimes in
the
life,
world, in the world,
in I the think world,
I mean, yes. I know that people get upset when we say that with cops. Like, if your husband's a cop or whatever, we're not saying your husband. We're just saying, like, in general, reading the news, it's obviously still an issue.
Yeah, but either way, I mean, maybe I'm being naive saying this, but. Given that there are these crazy racists out there, and given that there's like undue hostility, especially if you are a minority, if I found myself in a situation where I had a crazy cabbie who was yelling at me, whatever, it's like you just sort of take the easiest way out to defuse the situation. Give that money and get the hell out of there. You know, I know that might be naive, you know, because I haven't been in that situation as a black person.
Don't escalate. You're just saying it's stupid to escalate. Yeah, exactly. No matter your color, it's stupid to escalate.
She should have gone. She should have gotten his badge number. She should have gotten all this information. She pays, calls up his boss, then call the cops. Whatever it is, get the information. Get yourself out of the danger. But like. It sounds like she handled it incorrectly.
And if you're so afraid of the cops, then why are you calling them over a taxi cab fight? Because that's the dumbest thing I've ever heard. Why should the cops waste their damn time coming to some nail salon in Brooklyn to worry about your cab driver you're so afraid of the police? Give me a break, lady. I don't buy it. And my main problem and the reason it makes me mad is because there's such legitimate issues that need to be talked about in our society. Absolutely. And dealt with in a reasonable manner. And to make this like a cause for racism and to compare yourself to Trayvon is just fucking
bullshit.
It's not just bullshit. It's like disrespectful to the people who are actually dealing with this on a daily basis.
Well, it cheapens the movement because then it makes white people like, you know, sort of like the annoying, awful white people say things like, well, you know, black people will cry racism over anything, you know, like, well, when it's like, well, everything, da, 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 da. Like, because, you know, white people are always looking for an excuse to say shit like that. So, like, you know, it does cheapen it. It's you know, I believe that she felt she was the victim of racism, and she probably was. But I also think this was you got to pick and choose.
Rosa Parks at least paid for her bus seat. Jesus Christ. She didn't leave the bus and call call the police demanding a refund.
Listen, in life, you got to pick and choose your battles. And she should have gotten the guy's information, and then she should have, you know, if she could have done something. I don't know.
This is becoming a huge thing, and it's going to be on the show because then we get what are the new girls? Orzo?
Arzo.
It's a pasta, no, right?
Arzo.
Arzo. Well, so, and Yesterday. I mean, yeah, how can I forget them?
Arzo. Well, so Arzo basically is like, this is ridiculous. And
she's like, pasta is Afghani. We totally invented that.
Well, you know what's funny is that
my sister's name is Prague. So.
Have you met my uncle Orochete? I have a dog named Penny. So then what's really funny is that, like, after the runway show, they're just like sitting around chatting, and like Chantal is still really pissed. So Arzo then becomes like this condescending bitch, and she's like, "Oh, are you still upset? Are you still upset about it?" And Arzo's like, "Yes, I'm actually more upset with you." And she's like, "Oh." Then she starts to pet her, and she's like, "You just need to calm down. You just need to calm down a little bit." I'm like, "Oh, no. You are such a condescending bitch right now." But it's hilarious.
She's gonna get punched in the face, and I love it.
You know she will. And then they start fighting. And
you know, here's the thing. Chantal is the other girl?
Yeah, I think it's Chantal.
So that girl, model girl, you know, she's okay so far. Like, she's maybe too aggressive and she seems snotty and her accent sounds fake. But I think it's because she's like, didn't she say Jamaican and English? Anyway, there's a lot of weird stuff. And she has an agency for, like, skinny waiters, which I don't approve of. But... you know, I still kind of like her.
Yeah, I don't think she's awful.
In this one, I don't like her now. She is awful because the first thing she said when it got nasty or when it became a fight was, "You need to get some Botox immediately. You look like an Afghani hound."
I know.
Whoa.
No. She said Afghan hound.
Afghan hound.
Well, I will say this. I was like, oh my God, that is so obnoxious and so awful. And then I like looked up an Afghan hound and I was like, she actually does look like an Afghan hound.
Yeah, that's what Daisy was like. She does look like an Afghan hound. We're all animals. I'm a cub. That was hilarious.
I actually looked it up and I was like, oh, I was like, actually, that's like a really good call. But it's also like,
but
it's also
some
racist.
Rubber-faced, tranny-looking bitch to say, or drag queen-looking bitch, I guess I should say, because transgenderism has come a long way, I must say, with my neighborhood. I mean, there are some beautiful girls in my neighborhood. But anyway, some drag queen, like, telling you need Botox, like, that's her big thing, because...
Well,
you
her,
look like a Lego face bitch. Who says like, that? I don't like her. I hope the other girl punches her.
Well, even if she does look like an Afghan hound, you don't say that to him because she is actually Afghani. So it's like you could mean it one way, but it's going to be construed in another way. And then when the way that Chantal defends herself is, if someone called me a British bulldog, I wouldn't be offended. And you know, why would you be upset to be called by the country that you're from? That's kind of like saying, you stupid black girl, like, and being like, oh, well, why is she upset? I'm just calling her the color of the skin. I mean, that's just what she is. It's like, no, it doesn't work like that.
She also had an interesting point when she said, where she comes from, racism isn't like it is here. It's everyone's one race or whatever. And I think that that's interesting because there definitely does seem to be a humongous gap in emotions between the two countries. But honey, your country didn't have slaves, so that's another.
I'm sure they have other issues with different races.
You treat the white people like you have the working people who hate you, you know?
Yeah.
Or who
she acts like it's a freaking utopia over acts like it's a utopia over in England when England has such a crazy class system. I mean, like, sure, there may not be racism, but like, you know, there's a difference between, like, there's no, like, you know, once you're, there's the high class, the, like, the titled class, and then everyone else, even if it is, quote unquote, obsolete.
Yeah. So how about.
And they're all anti-Semitic, you know, anyway.
You don't have racism there, but you also don't have as good of dentists there.
Yeah.
So you see, it all balances out in the end.
Yeah. So.
Win some, lose some. America, 1 point.
Yeah, exactly. So, Arzo has been called an Afghan hound, and she's understandably
upset. So now it's going to get ugly and turn into this big racism discussion, which should be interesting to watch.
Yeah.
The biggest disappointment to me in this episode was that it was not her going to jail because she cracked a bottle over Melissa's head.
Right, and that's what's going to happen later on the season, I imagine. And this is from the girl, I never litter, I don't break the law, and cut to her smacking a bottle over Melissa Ford's head. And Melissa's like, oh my God, why can't I meet a guy who can crack a bottle over my head? If I weren't in videos, you never would have done that. Like, I'm sick
of it. If I met a guy who could have stayed as hard as that bottle, I'd be somewhere. This bottle is shaped like me.
There's something else I was going to say about this whole ridiculous situation, but I can't remember it.
Oh, let me see what
something
I
about, like, racism and Chantal and the whole...
Oh, gosh. I'm looking through my...
Well, you know what it was? Oh, I liked the little podbuster scene when Demetria and her fiance were talking about the Geneva situation. And what's his name? Greg? And he was like, I've never heard of, like, being arrested for, like, refusal to give goods or something like that. He's like, there's larceny and there's larceny too. There's, but it's like, this charge, like, doesn't exist.
Yeah. And she's like, who are you hanging out with?
Yeah.
He's like, my friends have been arrested for larceny, blackmail, armed robbery, murder, attempted murder, kidnapping. She's like, wow. Is this why you never invite your friends over, babe?
Yeah.
All right. So now it's time to move on to the Real Housewives of Melbourne.
I'm ready to go to Melbourne. Are you?
Let's do it, Bean. I'm here.
Oh, my God. Now, this is a funny episode.
This show just delivers on so many levels. The fight level, the silly level, the just laughing. I mean, the biggest news in this episode is Jackie found a new word. Kachua.
Kachua. That's kachua. So kachua.
That's kachua.
That's kachua. That's kachua. Hey, my Brita water filter, that's so kachua.
And stupid Lydia, she's like, this street is like the shopping center of... Wait, what did she say? It's like she's like, this street is like the shopping capital of Paris. Actually, the shopping capital of the world is Paris.
Yeah, I know. Lydia said so many stupid things this episode. Like when they went up to the rooftop to look at the sunset, she's like, we went up to the 71st floor. Great. No, my favorite was when Lydia's maid gave her like an envelope and was like, "Could you give this to my family?" And Lydia's like, "Oh, what's this? Is this a beautiful note? No, you fucking bitch. It's a Casio keyboard. What else do you think it could be?"
And I also like that she said, "Oh well, darling, if I don't see them, I'll post it."
And I think the maid is like, "Well, I could have done that. I want you to give it to them. I want you to see them and tell me how they are and how they look." And she's like,
"They'll be excited when they see a stamp from their own city."
Yeah. Oh, yeah, they never get to see stamps. I'm so happy to provide that. Is this a beautiful note? Oh, my God, darling, is this a beautiful note?
You know the maid was freaked out when she found out Lydia was going there because she's like, oh, shit, I've told her this whole story about my poor family and coming from the Philippines. You know she's probably from, like, downtown Sydney or something.
Yeah, exactly.
That letter probably said, if this crazy woman has handed you this letter, I will pay you money to pretend you're my mother.
Father, it was all that entire
smile and nod. Smile and nod.
Meanwhile, it's Phaedra's guide from the donkey.
Totally. It probably was her. Let's start at the beginning because this shopping trip was hilarious. Not only because you got to hear Jackie say, "That's kachua, that's kachua," which it's going to be hilarious when she finds out what that actually means.
Yeah, shine,
shiny kachua, shine. But also just listening to Lydia talk.
You know, in Paris, when they have customers that they really like, sometimes they'll set aside things for them. So this is like me in Paris because look, they've set things aside for me.
Oh my god. She's like, I've been coming here since I was 18. And now they just order things for me. They see things that they know I would like and they order them for me.
Like, I would have come here before I was 18, but I couldn't get money for sucking dick back then. You know, I was raised right.
So it's really funny. It's really funny. I like dresses. So when they buy dresses, they really are buying them for me because I like dresses.
It's like Paris because, you know, we walk through a door, which they also have in Paris.
It's funny because I was thinking, you know what I'd like? I'd like to see this dress on a mannequin first to get an idea of how it would look. And you know what? They started doing this. They started putting dresses on mannequins. I was like, they did that for me. You know what I like? I like carpets and they have a carpeted area just for me.
So this was also the scene where Pettifleur.
Oh, the Pettifleur.
Started her Gina War. Her Gina War is going to be coming on. She's like, girls, I have something to talk to you. I've seen a pattern arrive. And Jackie's like, pattern? Because she's wearing this jumpsuit that's the brightest pattern I've ever seen. And Pettifleur's like,
you know, this thing with with Gina. She tells me things that are racist. She made fun of my accent. She's racist.
I'm like, oh my God, another glass of water to dilute racism. Yeah. Come on. That's not racist.
I know.
It's linguist making fun of someone's accent.
Yeah. It's just not nice.
It's phonicist. I mean, it's rude. It's rude. But it's not racist. It's because last time they shouted her down when she tried to start something with Gina, everyone was like, oh, shut up. It's not a big deal. So she went home and she thought about it and she was like, okay, now it's racism. So now everybody has to fucking listen to me.
Yeah. Ever. Oh, Petty Floor. She's like, I tried to say something at the gallery and then she interrupted me. And now I think that she's a racist.
Oh, good. Whatever, lady. She's ridiculous. She's trying too hard. She needs to have a problem with everything. If you'd shut up for long enough, you'll actually have real problems that arise that you don't have to make up.
She's like, you know, I was thinking about it, and while I was waxing my son's bum, I asked him, do you think this is racist? And he said, Mom, please stop waxing my bum. And I think that's his way of saying yes.
The other day on the street, somebody told me, I've seen you before. You're always wearing clothes that are colored. And I thought, that's racist.
There's suddenly a pattern in front of me, and I like that she says, I can never get my point across. And Jackie's like, you better stop speaking loudly, more loudly, girl. I'm like, no, she does not need to be louder. Leave her alone. How about just stop talking?
She is barking up the wrong tree, the wrong spray tan tree. Petty Floor had the right idea in the beginning of the season, which was trying to kiss up to Gina. And she should just go with it because she is not going to be able to take down Gina.
No way.
No way.
She doesn't have the skills, the English skills or the attitude skills.
Well, Petty Floor doesn't realize that she's actually barking up two trees and two trees she cannot bark up. Because the other tree, inadvertently, hilariously, is Omarosa.
Oh, man. That's some good shit.
Oh.
So, now, Chica was really fun in this episode because Chica's coming back with some more confidence this time.
Yeah.
She's not... She doesn't need to be the nicest person, which I like. You know, they're at lunch... She's at lunch with, who was she at lunch with? Gina. And which, of course, you know, she's starting shit by making this a legal issue with Gina.
Right.
And what, Janet, right? Wasn't it Janet?
No, I think it actually may have been Gamble.
Oh, Gamble. So I forgot.
Gamble went to a dog show.
So she's at lunch and she's like, now, Gina, I've got a legal question for you. I've been given the self-help book that Petty Floor has written.
I thought it was quite good.
I don't read self-help normally. I mean, what do I need help with?
I just have a gay husband.
I've got a perfect husband who loves me. He's got white pants that are just as tight as the pair that my son wears.
He loves it when I go test out male strippers.
I don't need self-help, but you know, I read it and it's quite good. But here's the question. I Googled it and there's a book in America by someone called The Bitch Switch. Do you think that she could get sued for copyright? And then Gina immediately is like, of course, that's a court case. She could take it down. She could be taken down and thrown in jail.
Yeah. Especially, honestly, you know, Omarosa. I love Omarosa. I actually love Omarosa. But she will definitely... Omarosa is where she is because of who she is, and she is not going to let anyone infringe on her Bitch Switch book. So I would not be surprised if Switch the Bitch actually became a book and was anything remote, anything even close to a threat. I guarantee Omarosa would take her down.
Only a show as stupid as this would have somebody who plagiarizes Omarosa of all.
I know. I mean, how amazing is it? They're like, this is an American. I'm like, that's not just an American. She's a national institution. That's Omarosa.
If you're going to plagiarize, I mean, was Shakespeare not in the library that day? Like, if you're going to plagiarize somebody, do it right. Don't pick Omarosa. Yeah.
She's like, Petty Floor's like, you know, I was writing a book and someone told me the name was already shared by someone named Trishel. And I thought, well, I don't care about that. I'm going to plagiarize it anyway.
She's like, my book is called Bitch, I'm Madonna. Like, no. That's a song by someone named Madonna.
Yeah.
You can't take that. She's like, my new book is called People Magazine.
She's like, I've decided to write a new book called Fuck You, I'm Famous. No, that's Bleona from Euros of Hollywood.
I've written a new book called Misery. Oh, authority of book.
She's like, but instead of the man being tied to the bed, he ties down one of his fans and chops off her leg.
I've decided to write a book called To Kill a Blackbird. It's a wholly original title.
Killing a Mocking Blackbird.
I've decided to write a book called Anne of Blue Gables. It's a wonderful book. Wholly original.
The Mysteries of Nancy Drew.
I'm writing a book called The Hardy Men.
This is so stupid, but I can do it all day. And I love that our knowledge of books is so limited that we've switched to pop songs and then back to Nancy Drew.
I'm writing a book called Triassic Park. I think it'll be a big hit. I could even see it being turned into a movie.
I was reading a book called Highlights Magazine. And
I've decided to launch a magazine called 4321 Contact Magazine.
I've started a new book called En Vogue. They're like, no, that's a group. And it's all.
I'm starting a new pop group magazine. called I'm En Vogue. I'm starting a new pop group called Destiny's Children.
So stupid. And I love that Gina, instead of getting on the copyright thing, because she did change the words around, which I guess makes it different, but Gina's like, why is she calling woman bitch? I don't like that word when women call each other bitches. It's demeaning. And Chica's like, yeah, it's demeaning. I don't like that. You know, women shouldn't call each other bitches, but that's what she explains, that, you know, it's not that it's really a bitch. You know, she explains it in the book. And Gina's like, well, I don't like it. I don't like that title.
Yeah, Gina's like, she's such a stupid cunt for using that title. Although I get
asked. Lydia finally made one good point where she's like, Gina doesn't like that word. I find it ironic because, you know, she has no problem calling people a cunt.
You know, like, I actually
knew ironic, and you used it properly, and you remembered that, made a decent point. Good for you, girl.
It is a decent point, although I actually do think there's a little bit of a difference between when Gina used the C word. A, she was joking, and B, she was sort of like annoyed at someone, so she used it in a sort of an aggressive, not an aggressive way, but she was using it as an attack, which I get.
And so, she didn't say you're a cunt. She went to the bathroom where she thought her mic was off and said, I'm going to tell her why you're being a cunt.
Yeah, why you're being.
Different.
But the thing is, when you say switch the bitch, where it's more offensive is because it's implying that women are inherently bitches, you know?
Well, it also, like, grammatically means switch the bitch, and switching is like beating. It's like spanking someone stick.
I didn't even think about that.
Well, I'm from Texas, so you gonna get switched.
I think the offensive part is like, yeah, she might write. She might say something that – she might explain that, like, taking ownership of the word bitch, etc. But Gina has a point, which is that, like, I think most women, if they saw that, they actually would be offended. Like, I'm not a bitch. Like, why would you call me that? And that's, like, not part of my personality. So
women in, like, the Texas Barnes & Noble are going to be like, why is this book about beating women? Why is it saying beat the bitch?
And Gamble's like, I would never beat my female dog. Wolfie's gonna come to the dog show with me.
I will meet him with treats. I will beat bad behavior with treats. We'll beat that bad behavior, won't we, little pup?
Oopsies! Oopsies!
So, so Gamble went to a dog show and it was a nightmare. It was a disaster.
It's hilarious. It's actually
we just
very
need
funny.
To get to the good part here.
Yeah, do it.
Lunch with Janet. Oh, Janet. Janet's going to start tea because her son's a burn victim, and she's going to start a charity tea with the lady who knows the most about tea, and all of the funds are going to go to burn victims. I'm like, you know that it's possible to, like, leave tea on the kettle too much, right? Maybe we should find something that doesn't involve fire to sell.
Yeah, how about
help burn victims?
Yeah, to help burn victims, how about you don't promote a product that could scald you? How about that?
Thank you for putting that more succinctly.
Yeah,
but yeah, she's like, you know those logs that stop fires? You know they're covered in kerosene, so they'll stop the whole fire for you. Duraflames. We're gonna sell those, but for burn victims.
We're gonna sell lighter fluid for burn victims.
No, you don't want to sell the fire part. You want to sell the hose. Okay, anything with water in it. Maybe bottled water. That would be good.
Well, I will say this, though. It was, I think this was her son's idea, and it's apparently being very therapeutic for him, and I do feel bad for him, so I can't totally 100%
I'm just saying,
slam
I'm just
it.
Saying project,
but it
I'm
is
just
kinda
saying
silly.
Your product maybe yeah. could use a little more
time. Yeah. Yeah, caution, and, like, it's like,
maybe
contents may get hot. Yeah.
We're going to open a fireworks stand in every city. all the problems are going to go to burn victims.
Oh, thanks, Janet. Good idea, darling. All right, so so that was kind of
maybe
funny.
For iced tea. Maybe use the tea bags for iced tea. Maybe use one of those iced tea makers. Let's keep it like that.
Or maybe tea that doesn't require any kind of fire to make.
Like, yeah, just cold or room temperature tea.
Tea darling, it's a new type of tea. Traumatic to people to make, you know.
Yeah.
Traumatic for victims. Yeah. I mean. All right, so let's move
and that's
on.
Why they, and by the way, that's why they went to Manila this week for their trip, because they did a group trip to Manila so that way Janet could meet the tea expert in the Philippines.
Yes, I'm looking through my notes. I don't know why I took so many notes. I don't feel like that much happened, so let me see. Well, so then they go to that poker event, and Pettiflor kind of insinuates that Lydia's probably fucking the guy who's running the charity.
She's like, oh, you're very familiar.
And then they cut to the picture. They cut to a shot of Lydia kind of like leaning over and talking to him deeply and, you know, maybe, you know, getting a little too close. So there's like some future problems. And then Jax with her Atlanta gay that she has, who's in one of those like dress shirts and leggings or whatever. And he's like, oh, girl, you're going to look so good in this. I'm like,
you're going to end. You're going to make your entrance and then you're going to make you. No, you're going to arrive and then you're going to arrive.
The best thing about this guy is that he's so fun and positive and adorable.
He's a really cute.
And I really love their version of our Atlanta gays. He's super cute. Needs a pair of heels if he's going to pull it off. But I also love that he does other American things wrong. Like he says, I can't even handle, which is awesome. But like, instead of just having words now, they're just leaving words off the end of the sentences. It's like one long Mad Libs. Yeah. People are like, what are the gays talking about? They keep leaving words out of the sentences.
Oh, what are the gays saying? Tagalog.
I can't even handle blank. What is blank?
That's so stupid, Ronnie, you're so stupid.
I get it. Did you just call me stupid? We're gonna fight about this for an entire season. That was racist.
This is racist. You're getting awfully familiar with the cricket legend with the plastic surgery.
I love when they were talking. These women kill me. I love when they were standing on the roof of this, on the 71st floor. The 71st floor, looking over the town. And she goes like, is that the project stand there? Is that where the project? No, don't be rude. She's like, no, really, literally, I think it is. And I'm like, oh, yeah, you know, we saw those poor kids. Oh, but those kids look so happy. Didn't they? They're so happy.
Yeah,
you know,
I love.
They're poor, but they're happy. And Betty Floor was like, I was a poor kid, and I was not happy. There was no food. You know, I saw these kids wiping windows and they look so little. That is not happy. And they're like, oh, but they look happy, darling.
Well, you know, it's funny because Pettiflor was like a voice of reason in that moment, because she was like, you know, you smile through your tears, you know. And it was funny that like these women were like, they look so, oh, they were so happy they were playing, you know. And Pettiflor was like, well, they really weren't happy. Cut to Pettiflor being like, all right, let's go shopping now. I love to shop. Great.
That was pretty
nice
cute.
Introspection.
so then we get to the dinner.
Yes.
Dun dun dun. So they go up to this dinner, and we're thinking the whole episode, because, you know, anybody who's watched this show has seen the coming next week previews or the coming up the next segment previews, which they've been showing this fight. And so we know a fight's coming, and we just assume that Pettiflor is going to start it, because we know that Pettiflor has been talking behind Gina's back and calling her a racist, and we know that Pettiflor is waiting for, and also she showed up at dinner acting weird. Everybody's saying she's acting weird. Someone asked her if she's crying or something. Oh, yeah. So something's off with her anyway. So you think it's going to be Pettiflor, but it's not. It actually turns into be Gina who starts it.
Of course.
Which was hilarious, and Chica was, you know, Pettiflor is like, so, Chica, you read my book.
What did you think? Tell me everything. And she goes like, well, I have to tell you, I don't normally read self-help books, because why would I? Does anybody have an answer for me? Because I don't need a self-help book, do I? I don't need one. I mean, those are for losers. And, you know, the thing is, I Googled it, and someone's already using that title. And also, I don't like the word bitch for women. I think it's demeaning. Okay, those are two issues, and they need to be separated into different arguments.
Yeah.
Okay? Because poor Betty Floor can't wrap. She's like, do I fight racism or do I fight plagiarism? Which is first?
Yeah. Do them all at once.
Yeah, so she starts in with, you know, oh, me and my son came up with this name because we thought it was so funny, and I Googled it, and Gina starts in first, and she's like, someone's already using that name. You know, you can't use that name. Someone's using it already.
Which, by the way, that's not starting a fight. She's stating something that's like a true potential legal hurdle.
Yeah, but she was super aggressive.
I mean, she was happy to do it.
Yeah, she was super aggressive. She's like, you can't do it. Yeah, but still, you can't do it. Yeah, but still, I mean, even if you did it, then, I mean, but still.
Ideal in fact.
And it's demeaning a woman calling another woman a bitch like that. And she's like, no, it's not demeaning. You must read the first chapter. She's like, well, I don't like it. I don't like women being called bitches. I don't think that's nice. She's like, well, you know, it's explained in the book if you read it. And she's like, well, I still don't like it. Women being called.
Read it.
You know, she didn't
like
it.
My point is that I wouldn't read it in the first place. Although, I mean, Gina was being aggressive, but I don't think Gina was trying to start a fight. I think she was just kind of keeping it real, as they say. I think she was, she wasn't being polite.
I don't think she was starting it on purpose. I just think that it came out of her being just not dropping it. Came from her being too aggressive.
She was not being genteel.
Yeah. So then, you know, Petty Floor gets all, oh, but, you know, me and my son read it and we thought it was a hilarious title and we looked it up on the internet. And I thought it was still funny because her book is about switching the bitch on and off. And my book is about switching to different bitches. And Gina's like, oh, so you knew then.
Yeah.
Which was funny. So then what started it between her? And then Lydia's over at the end of the table going, don't tell her what she can and can't write about. It's couture.
So then I think Petty Floor says, well, you know, Gina, you don't really like anything. And then Gina was like, excuse me? And she's like,
you know me now, do you? You know me? You know what I like and don't like now, do you?
Well, the best part about that was then, I don't know if you heard this because a lot of things were happening, but I rewound it like 3 times to make sure I got it. Gina actually relied on some like 1992 humor. She goes, oh, you know me well, don't you? Not. Ooh, wow.
I'm a
zinger.
Huge fan of Knot.
Yeah.
Huge. I can't let it go. I was obsessed with it when it came out. I'm still obsessed with it now.
My favorite is in Arrested Development when Julia Louis-Dreyfus plays Maggie Leiser, you know, the blind attorney. Uh-huh. And it was something like she was pretending to be pregnant. Remember that episode where was she pretending to be pregnant or maybe she really was? And at one point, Michael rips away this thing to prove that she's faking it and she really has like a stomach and she's like, I guess I'm pregnant. Not. or something like that. That's what I always hear. Anyway, I guess you had to see it. Y'all go watch that episode. It's funny. It's on Netflix, I'm sure. It's the episode of Maggie Leiser season 2.
Back to this fight, Ben. I don't even know where we are anymore.
You know me well, don't you? Not.
Well, you know that Jackie's at the end of the table getting pissed because she gets that Popeye eye. Jackie has this like one eye that twitches when she starts getting mad and like turns Popeye. And she starts saying, couture.
She's couture. Like, Petty Floor seems sad. Couture. She must not have enough couture in her life. Her hair's sticking up because of humidity. By the way, which was my favorite part was because their hair was all sticking up like little horns. I kept on laughing.
My favorite part was when Lydia was trying on a pearl necklace and she was shocked that she didn't have to wipe it off after. So, back to this fight. Popeye over there at the end of the table. So you can see her already getting pissed off.
Well, then Gina just shuts down Petty Floor at one point. Gina's like, you can keep your opinions to yourself. Thank you very much.
Yeah. She's like, I won't be reading that book. You can take your opinions and shove them up your ass, darling.
Thank you very much.
Shove them up where the sun doesn't shine.
Thank you very much. I just love when she says thank you very much, as if like this is over. Thank you. Goodbye.
How about you not? I can't even say it. How about you not shove that up your ass, not?
I like when knots double used.
Yeah, no.
Gamble's like, oh, I'm so glad Wolfie isn't here. Not.
She's saying with her little thumb, with her little thumb puppet.
I wish Wolfie never asked me to marry him. Not. Wolfpup.
I don't miss Wolfpup at all. Not.
One of the running things in this episode was how Gamble is stupid and doesn't know words. She says feminist as fenimist.
Fenimist.
And Janie, you know, is making fun of her. She's like, it's not English. And she even says in one point, she's like,
well, yeah, I'm stupid and I don't know a lot of words. And so now, you know, people are telling me. And it's interesting because it's the first time people have told me that I don't know the words.
Well, no, the best is like...
no one has ever told you that you don't... She's probably never discussed feminism before in her life.
Well, the best is in the middle of dinner, she's just like, oh, by the way, if I say a word incorrectly, I'm sorry, it's because I'm deaf. Ah. And everyone's like, wait, what? She's like, by the way, I have a hearing problem.
And then the garage band's sad violin loops play. This show's really bad with the garage band free loops. You guys at least pay for the $5 downloads. You're getting music from a television show on something that 5-year olds play with for free on their Mac. Stop it. Stop that. Those violins that go dun 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 dun. Like they don't even edit them. They just like loop them on in there.
Meanwhile, Janet and Chico are probably like, oh, you know, she's deaf, but she's so happy. Look at her playing. By the way, I'm surprised that...
I was deaf when I was young, and I was not happy.
I'm surprised, by the way, that Lydia didn't chuck her maid's letter off the edge of that building. Like, well, I'm sure it'll land at their house. You know,
oh my
turn
God,
into like a paper
please.
Airplane and be like, here you go. Here you go.
Please let Lydia go visit that family. Please follow... Follow her cameras. Please follow her while she visits that family.
Please.
Hi there. You know, your daughter, she's very good to me. And you know why? Because I'm very good to her. Last week, I let her carry around my purse in the house. And also, I watered the tree that she put in my backyard that she found on the street. It's very romantic.
So anyway, back to this fight. So Gamble is now deaf. So the rest of the season for Gamble is going to be like a really fun version of my left foot.
She's like,
I heard what you were saying about me. Not.
I was reading your lips right now. And I'm really mad.
Wolfie doing sign language.
Wolfie's so good with his hands. I don't know if he said, I'm coming inside right now, or if he said, is it time for dinner? Oh, Wolfie!
Oh, Wolfie, I love your ambiguous hands.
Remember when you asked me to marry me, Wolfie?
Actually, I was asking you if you liked the muscles.
You like the muscles.
Oh, I do, Wolfie, I do.
So this typical Housewives fashion, we start with a fight and it ends. And then it's like next week, and then everybody's going apeshit next week.
Yeah, Jackie's
which looks hilarious. Jackie's going off on Gina and flipping her off and telling her, fuck off, woman! That's not control.
The angels told me to tell you to fuck off.
She's like, your angels turned into demons.
Oh, fuck off, woman.
Love it. They go there on this show.
Took it too far to too rock. Okay, well, I think we covered everything on all three shows.
We need another hour, Ben.
Well, guess what? We're going to have more. Thank you, everyone, for listening and for supporting us. We have another episode coming on Thursday, where we'll cover Real Housewives of New York City and Southern Charm and Shaw's of Sunset. And guess what? More Real Housewives of Beverly Hills, The Lost Footage. We also have our hangout on Thursday. So
yeah, our hangout. So if you guys want to know how to do that, we'll be telling you on the page. Be sure that you're a donator or whatever on Patreon. And then come to the Facebook page on Thursday. That'll be at 6 p.m. Pacific, right, Ben?
Yeah.
All right, so at 6 p.m. Pacific time, basically you just click a link and it takes you into Google Hangouts.
Yeah.
And hopefully it won't make our phones ring, which it occasionally does. Yeah. And there won't be technical glitches. But even when there are, we still have a good time. Yeah. Bring a drink and get ready to talk some shit. You guys can talk about really whatever you want.
There are 10 people. 10 people can join in terms of the hangout, in terms of people who can appear on screen and talk with us. And if those 10 slots are full, we'll give you instructions of where you can go just to watch and spectate. It's really fun. Even if you're just spectating, it's a silly mess.
And also, the ringers for the month have been posted. So go get your ringtones over on Patreon, y'all. They're all posted, and they're pretty funny this month.
Yeah, they always are funny.
There's a really good one of Kim Richards going, blah, 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 right? Blah, 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 right? Gotta get it.
That's a good text tone for someone you don't want to hear from.
Yep. All right, everybody. See you next time.
Thanks, everyone.
Thanks. Bye.
Bye.
If you like listening to comedy, try watching it on the internet. The folks behind the Sideshow Network have launched a new YouTube channel called Wait For It. It's got interviews with comedians like Reggie Watts, Todd Glass, Liza Schleichinger, Slicinger. I've been friends with her for 10 years. One of the funniest people out there, and I still have a hard time with the last name, Liza. Our very own Owen Benjamin, that's me, takes you on a musical journey down internet rabbit holes and much more. You don't have to wait any longer. Just go to youtube.com/waitforitcomedy. There's no need to wait for it anymore because it's here and it's funny. And I love you.